I want to discuss with you the topic of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a topic that's always a win. You can never go bad with Eretz Yisrael, and you can never go bad with Shabbos. Talk about Yiddishkeit. You know the famous joke when the new rabbi comes to town and the rabbi, the first who gets up, and he gives a sermon to Pharisees all about Shabbos. So they tell the rabbi, you know, don't talk about Shabbos, because the people here, you know, they're not so observant. You don't want to rub them the wrong way. Talk about something else. So he gets up next week and he gives a fiery dish about kashrus. And the balabatim said to the rabbi, you know, not everyone here keeps kosher. You're going to rub them the wrong way. You don't want to lose your job. Don't talk about kashrus. So then, okay, next he goes and talks about Eretz Yisrael. Because, you know, the people here, they're not so Zionistic. They're very liberal. You know, better just don't touch that topic. So it goes and a couple more weeks like this. So then the rabbi gets frustrated. He says to the Baal Abatim, so what should I talk about?
Judaism.
Talk about Yiddishkeit. 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 So Yiddishkeit. So this is the topic, Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos, the two topics you can never go wrong. So this week we are very fortunate. We have Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech Lecha. May Arzacha, me Moilatacha, me Beisavicha, El Ha'oretz Asher Areka. I'm now going to take you to the Holy Land, to the Promised Land, to Eretz Yisrael. So here I have a beautiful sefer we use this many times, Oitze Machmadim. He's already up to three volumes by Rabbi Gottlieb, Rabbi Nosson Gottlieb. And this comes from volume number 2. And the first four chapters of volume number 2 are different interesting yidiyos about Eretz Yisrael. So let's run through a few minutes of some of the ideas. Number one is, the first topic is famous Chazal that is quoted on Tisha B'Av. It says in the Gemara Masechta Gittin, Shishim Riboy Ayaros Hoyu Lo LeYanai HaMelech Bahar HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech, this is during the time of the Bayis Sheni, Yanai HaMelech had 600,000 cities in the area, the region of Eretz Yisrael called Har HaMelech. Anyone know what that is? I'm sure they know where it is, right? On the map, where it is exactly. I don't know where it is. Somewhere near Yisrael, Har HaMelech. And the Chol Achas, the Achas, Hoyu Bo Ki Yotzei Mitzrayim. And each one of these 600,000 cities had 600,000 people. Now, this is off the charts. I mean, if you do the math, it comes out to some ridiculous number. So, and the Gemara, in fact, tells us, Ula went to see it. Really? There's a place in Eretz Yisrael that has 600,000 cities, and each one of those cities has 600,000 people? Can't be. I have to check this out, be an eyewitness. He went there, he saw Har HaMelech, and he came out and he says, this place can't even sustain 600,000 reeds. Konim, a reed coming out of the ground. There's no 600,000 cities. So what in the world does this Gemara mean? So this Gemara is a very big mystery. So therefore, the first topic here is, how in the world can you call, what is Pshat in the Gemara? Har HaMelech, Shishim Riboy, cities, each one, Shishim Riboy, Ula himself testified, you don't have even enough to hold a few reeds in this one location. So here he goes to discuss the topic called Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz Yisrael is called the land, we learned this in Yirmiyah, we learned this in Yirmiyah a number of times, Eretz HaTzvi, it's land, which literally means land of beauty. Tzvi means beauty, but also it means a deer. What is the unique characteristic of a deer? The skin of a deer is very tight. It's stretched. And after the deer is killed, the skin is flayed, if you were to try to take the skin and cover the meat of the skin, it's impossible. It shrivels. It shrivels instantly. But as long as the deer is alive and well and the skin is attached, miraculously the skin covers the entire hide of the animal. So we have a new principle that Eretz Yisrael is a land that expands and contracts. And therefore, some want to suggest that originally at the time of Yanai HaMelech, really the truth is, we don't know, we have no understanding what this means, it's something that's supernatural, but it's physical. It's physically supernatural. When Klal Yisrael are Isim Ritzayne Shal Makam, and they're living on the land physically expands to accommodate the people. It's the Eretz HaTzvi. This is one approach to make sense out of a very difficult piece of Gemara. It's a little bit mystical, but we're trying to make sense. It's physical, the land expands and it contracts. The Maral, Rav Chol, in honor of you, honor of today. Today, you'll always remember today. So we have here the Maral. The Maral says that it's not to be taken literally, it's to be taken figuratively. Meaning, there were no 600,000 cities, it means the quality. Okay, it's really what he seems to say is that the echos of this land, the quality of people that lived in Eretz Yisrael at Har HaMelech, with such high caliber, it was shakal keneged shishim riboy, multiplied by shishim riboy of what, when the Gemara is writing, of what people were like. Now, sometimes it's a principle, it's a very dangerous principle, that in my chos, this is the damcha suma. Samach Tvei. Who gives you the right to say that your blood is redder than someone else's blood, right? So you have no right, everyone's life is equal. But the truth is, there are people whose lives are, their blood is redder than other people, the quality of some people. So this generation, living during the time of the Bayit Sheni, the quality of their existence was such high caliber, it was shakal keneged, shishim ribui, multiplied by shishim ribui, of people living in the time of the Gemara when this statement was said. It's a whole different concept. The land didn't expand, the land didn't contract, no Eretz Tzvi. We're dealing with a very small piece of land, but we're dealing with high caliber people. Look at the Maisa with Achan. Achan, Chazal said the entire Klal Yisrael was ready to be destroyed. Only one person died. He was Keneged the whole Klal Yisrael. Keneged Rubashel Sanhedrin, Yair ben Menashe. So one person was shakal keneged the whole Klal Yisrael. That's all the Gemara means. That's the Pshat according to Perush of the Maral. Now other Perushim is this another third Mahalach. I like this Mahalach. We like this Mahalach. Is it's muat a small place that can hold a large amount? What is this called? Miut hamachzik hasamaruba. We find this in the Beis Hamikdash. The land did not expand. The land did not contract. But there is oimdim tsefufim mashtachavim revachim. There was a koyach. It was a supernatural koyach that an enormous amount of people can live in a small area. They said this about the chas. People say, even not so long ago, about the chasam sofer. Eyewitness testimony. People that were in the court of the chasam sofer and other gedolim in pre-war Europe. When they went. They know the numbers. They know how many people were there to come and makabel upon him from these gedolim. And it wasn't all that long ago. We're dealing with 150 years ago, the most 200 years ago, and if there are records. And then when they came back at a later tekufa, and they look at the building, the place where they all stood, there's no way in the world. There's no way in the world you can fit these people in. There is such a kayak of oimdim tzifuf mishtach mevachim. The earth doesn't have to expand. It's just it's a supernatural approach. So basically, that's the three mahalach. Now going back to the first mahalach, we have a question. This is an interesting idea. How could it be that today the mosque, the Dome of the Rock, is built on the Har Habayis? Okay, whether you want to say that the Dome of the Rock is not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which many see it's not, it's maybe where the Mizbeach was. And so, of course, how could it be that in the Har Habayis, the Makam of Kedusha and Tahara, you can have places that are antithetical to Yados? How could it possibly be? So someone says something very fascinating. It's in a Hanami. It's because the earth shrunk. It's built upon this principle, is that being that Eretz Yisrael, there were places in Eretz Yisrael that when that the Goyim had Shlita over, for whatever reason. Being that after the Churban, the earth shrunk, that principle of the earth shrinking allowed that Mekoymos of Tumah can somehow now be superimposed upon Mekoymos of Kedusha. It's because through the shrinking of the land, everything got shifted around. Interesting idea. Okay, now, this principle of the earth shrink, did the earth really shrink, did the earth not shrink, is really subject to much debate. Because, for example, it says in the Pasuk that Yaakov did not bury Rachel in Ores Machpelah. He told Yosef, I buried on the Derech, but Kivras Eretz Mibeis Lechem. It was only a Kivras Eretz. What is a Kivras Eretz? So the Mefarshim say, the Ramban, this is all the Ramban speaking, he quotes Rabbeinu Menachem. Is it the Menachem from Rashi or someone else? He says that this Menachem says it's the distance that an animal will distance itself to find food and pasture, which is not a long distance, it's a short distance. And the Ramban said that when he came to Eretz Yisrael and he measured the distance of Kever Rachel to the Maris Machpela, it was exactly what Menachem said. I never really understood what does it mean, Ba'od Kivras Eretz Lovo Yefrasa. Translate those words. What does it mean, Kivras Eretz? What's a Kivras Eretz? A distance of land. I don't even know how to translate it literally. So Menachem, Pershu, Kivras Eretz is a defined amount of land that an animal pastures, goes out to find food in one day. Animal has a certain GPS system built in. It will not go out more than a certain distance. That distance is called the Kivras Eretz. Ramban said when he came to Eretz, he saw and he went and he measured the distance. It was exactly what Menachem said. Now wait a minute, if we have a principle that Eretz Yisrael has shrunk from the time of the Bayis Rishon, so it should be a lot less. It should be a lot less. The fact that nothing has changed from the time of Yaakov Avinu to today's day and age shows that this principle of Kivras Eretz is not, this principle of shrinking and expanding is not 100% accurate. That's what the Ramban says. Another proof that it's not so is that it says in Chazal that the distance between Yerushalayim and Yerichai is 10 parsos. And according to modern calculations, that's what it is today as well. If you measure from Yericho to Yerushalayim, it's exactly 10 parsos. But if you apply the principle of Eretz HaTzvi, then it should be a lot more. It should be a lot more because the land has shrunk over the years of Golos. The fact that it has not shrunk indicates that there is this principle of Eretz HaTzvi is not something which is difficult. Now there is a very interesting yisod that we have. It comes to making matzah. It comes to Hilchas Shabbos. It comes to Kriya Shema. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Chassam Sofer. But other Rishonim, what is the Shir Mil? The Rambam says the Shir Mil is 24 minutes. 24 minutes, so it's 4 mils, you have to wait 72 minutes. However, on the other hand, the Mil, according to many other Rishonim, is only 18 minutes. When it comes to Matzah, so what do we do when it comes to Matzah? How many minutes do we wait for Matzah? 18 minutes. We're Machmir, like the Rishonim, that a Mil is 18 minutes. Lubavitch is not Machmir. Lubavitch, they wait 24 minutes on a run of Matzah. Because they follow that sheet when it comes to Kriyash, when it comes to Shabbos, all of these in Yonim. So someone is a fasting Kiddush. How could they both be right? A Mil is a distance, amount of space it takes to walk. It's amount of space it takes to walk to a certain area, so just do a test. Go take your watch and walk a mil and see how long it takes. Now, some want to say is the Rambam and the other Shem are arguing, they're discussing the principle of before the land shrunk and after the land shrunk. Before the land shrunk, it was longer. The Rambam says a mil was 24 minutes. After the Chur Beis HaMikdash, the land shrunk. Now it's only 18 minutes. So now it's certainly only 18 minutes. The question though is, even though talking now it's only 18 minutes, in Halacha, when we do things in Halacha, are we taking into consideration the land that existed before the land shrunk when it was a greater distance? So it's a very fascinating idea, is to take a Dvar Gadda, that the land shrunk, because today on the clock, everyone agrees that on the clock it only takes 18 minutes to walk what we call a mil. We can calculate what a mil is. We know what a mil is, and the average distance, the distance, the travel time for a mil is 18 minutes. So why Bizman Hazeh would anyone want to travel 24 minutes? So he suggests over here, it's not him saying this, he brings down sources, because in Echad the Rambam knew that it only takes 18 minutes. But the Rambam is making the calculation based upon the land when there was a Beis HaMikdash before it shrunk. And he had a tradition that before it shrunk, a mil was much longer. A mil, the land was expanded to that degree, and it took 24 minutes to walk that mil. Memela, halacha follows that, and you need to have 24 minutes for all of these areas of halacha. Okay, let's now go to another topic. Next topic. Is it proper for a person, are you mechuyev to buy Dalid Amos in Eretz Yisrael? Should a person go out of their way, Bizman Hazeh, to buy Dalid Amos? Because it says here in the Pasuk, in this week's parasha, I believe, you have to show that you want Eretz Yisrael. To show you want Eretz Yisrael, you have to at least own Dalid Amos. So this is a very machlokes apoitzim, a person should go out of his way, Bizman Hazeh, to buy Dalid Amos in the kind of the midst of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What? Dalid Amos 16, what? A plot, I mean a kvura. I don't think it's Dalid Amos, but Dalid Amos. A kvura is it's less. So this is a very interesting question. How far? The Shinova, who's the Rebbe? So they ask him the Shaila. So he says, you mekayim this halacha if you buy a seat in a shul in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to own land. It's a very big chiddush. You don't have to own land. You have to own land. So you go out on a farm, go out into the fields, go buy a house, rent an apartment. You have to be a gevir to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. But if you want to go buy, you think buy an apartment. Buy an apartment, you own the land, or you own the apartment. You own a space on the third floor. That's called owning land in Eretz Yisrael. Do you have to mamash own the karaka? I don't know how it works. But he says, in order to be kind of this halacha, if you're a member of a shul in Eretz Yisrael, where the shul requires you to buy a seat, I have rights to a seat. Owning rights in a seat is enough of an acquisition. Eretz Yisrael yimakayim the halacha of shechoin baretz. That again, the main makor comes from the pasuk shechoin baretz, dwell in the land. Shechoin baretz, according to some rishonim, is a directive. You must have a shechena baretz. Shechena means a residence, a place in the land that you can call you. It's a mitzvah sase deraisa. Shechoin baretz, according to the Shinova, buying a seat in the Beis HaKnes or Beis HaMedrash is a fulfillment of what it means shechoin baretz ki l'cho etnena ulizarecha. That sounds to be very interesting. Now the Chassam said that where does the shayla have nafminus lehalacha? This is a very interesting shayla. This put down in Shulchan Aruch. And the person wants to appoint a shaliach to be his agent in business, or let's say to be his advocate in court. You go to court, person has a din Torah, and you don't want to go to court, so you want to appoint a representative. So you have to write a toyin, but more than it's a toyin. You want him to make decisions, to make arguments, and whatever will happen, he'll be the one. Power of attorney. So you must write a shtar harsha. You must write a special legal document called a shtar harsha, which means a power of attorney. Authorization, a document of authorization. I authorize this person. What is the authorization? I give you my assets. The money that we're dealing with, the ass that we're dealing with, I'm giving it to you and you can argue. Problem is, if you're giving him money, you're dealing over here with some type of thing which is assets, of liquidated assets, and it's not real property. How do you make that transition? So there's a typical shtar harsha class that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, what the nusach is, where you write, Agav Dalet Amos. I'm giving you Dalet Amos. I'm giving you four Amos. And Agav, the four Amos that I'm giving you, you will memelo acquire all of the assets that are necessary for you to be the power of attorney in this legal court case. So the problem is, people who wrote this Shtar Harsha didn't own a piece of real estate anywhere in the whole world. They didn't have one nothing, and they rented, or they not even that, they were squatters. They were on some government program. They don't own anything. You own nothing. And yet they were taking this shtar out of the Shulchan Aruch and wrote the shtar harsha, and the shtar harsha had said that Agav, the Dalet Amos, I'm giving you my Dalet Amos, and Agav, the Dalet Amos, I'm also giving you the power of attorney, I'm giving you the that's one of the kinyanim. So the question is, what in the world are you talking about? So there's a major machlekes achronim if this is okay, because of the principle Kol Yisrael Yesh Lachem Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Beirusha, every single member of Klal Yisrael has a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Dalet Amos. Where it is exactly, we don't know. You don't know where it is. It's somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. But that's it. Is this Dvar Agoda, that every person has a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, so strong that you can write it just as a matter of fact in a Shtar Harsha to use it as a source of Kinyan Agav in order to transfer your power of attorney to someone else? Some say yes and some say not. At the very least, you have to know where it is. This is machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. That's where it goes back to if you can do such a thing. Okay, let's go to another quick thing. Next quick thing is Ein Torah Kitaras Eretz Yisrael. there is no Torah. The best learning takes place in Eretz Yisrael. Why is that so? So very quickly, it is because Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machim. Some say it's purely spiritual. It's the place where Hashem Vayipach Be'apov Nishmas Chaim. Hashem blew into the nostrils of Adam Nishmas Chaim. That blowing is a blow of intelligence. That Hafacha still continues for all time. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're putting yourself in the vicinity of that blowing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's supernatural. Some say it's not supernatural. It's because the air, the environment of the land is pure. It's a wonderful land. The Middle East. No, they're not fighting about the Middle East for no reason. It's a beautiful environment. And that environment is healthy for the mind. A third time, this is a very interesting time. The third reason why Avir Yisrael Macham is because, think about this. In Eretz Yisrael, when you eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, we all know today that if you eat well, it's a recipe for good health. Good food, healthy food is a recipe for good health. Everyone is in today. We live in a generation. We're into health, all the health foods. In Eretz Yisrael, all the food is not just healthy, it's spiritual for a very similar reason. Because you're mechuyev to be mafresh trumas ma'isros. So everything that you put in your mouth in Eretz Yisrael, kemat, was subject to hafrosha of truma ma'isah. That hafrosha injects spirituality into the food. In America, when you have some corn that grew in Arizona, some wheat from Arizona, it's very good, it's very healthy, it's delicious, but no one ever did a maisa hafrosha, did a dovasha b'kedusha. It was not tevel and required someone to do a hafrosha, and by doing a hafrosha, you're giving it sanctity. So this is an advantage that exists only in Eretz Yisrael, where kemat, everything that you put in your mouth, is the peiros of Eretz Yisrael, which underwent a process of kedusha v'tahara, which gives it kedusha, and that kedusha has an effect on your neshama, whether you realize it or not, and that enhances your ability to connect yourself to Torah. In Chutz Li'aretz, you don't have that, unless, nafgamina, here's a very big nafgamina, unless you import food. If you're living in America, but everything that you put in your mouth came from Eretz Yisrael, then according to this logic, there is absolutely no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Li'aretz, because it's the same chemicals, it's the same thing going, it's the same kedush that goes into your body. According to the other reasons that we said before, it's the environment, it's a beautiful environment. According to the time in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the Vayipach Be'ap of Nishmas Chaim, then it would only be in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And that, by the way, okay, we are really out of time. I'll tell you one last thing. Okay, last thing is, this is a very interesting halacha. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. People are not aware of this halacha. It is forbidden. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein moitzin peiros me'eretz Yisrael dvarm sheyesh v'mechai nefesh koin yenois shmonim usulosais. V'nivsak zois la'alacha l'maisa b'shulchan aruch ein moitzin peiros sheyesh v'mechai nefesh meret shol l'chutzaretz. This halacha that for some reason has been deleted, has been ignored. Technically, it is forbidden to export food from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Li'aretz. Exports are forbidden. You're not allowed to have anything. Why? Because we want the prices to be cheap. If you're going to export the food, then there's going to be a shortage, the price will go up, and the poor will not be able to afford to buy food. In order to flood the market, to cause the price to go down, you're not allowed to export. Does this halacha apply bizman hazeh? So the answer is obviously not. No. We're very, very makel, but all of the poskim, they struggle why it is. So the answer basically given is because there is a surplus in Eretz Yisrael. And number two, you're only planning it with kavana that to export. When you plan with kavana to export, that's an exception. Or today we live in the global economy where there's food all over the place. It doesn't make a difference whether you export, you don't export. Since the economy, the nature of the economy has changed, come out all the poskim said that it does not apply with Zman HaZeh. Yeah, you should be aware that there were Gedolei Yisrael that refused to be nene from the peiros of Eretz Yisrael. It brings a maisa from. It brings a maisa here. The maisa. Chuvah chiluv mechayim shnatu b'cham chachmei b'fadet zeh. Hagoyin Rav, Hagoyin who this is, war matter. Sons, the sons are off. May Hagoyin Hakadosh meet sons. They sent him wine from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, what wine they make in Eretz Yisrael? What's lots. A good wine? Lots of wine. So they sent him a bottle of wine from Eretz Yisrael as a gift. He refused to use it, to drink it. He said it's usher. You're sending me a gift, a bottle of wine from Eretz Yisrael. It's beferish Shulchan Aruch. Ein moitzin peiros me'Eretz Yisrael dvarim sheishem chay nevesh. Then yenois is the first item on the list. So he said, you live in Chutz Liaretz, you send me Shulchan Aruch, you're sending wine from Eretz Yisrael. How are you allowed to bring this wine out of Eretz Yisrael? And we have all the heterim, it's for business, yikavona. Bottom line is, you're in violation of what it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara, and the Sanzerov, he held of this, he didn't take wine out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, to supplement, to complement what it says in the Bavli, there's a Yerushalmi, which is even more shocking. It's only in the Yerushalmi, and that is, you're not allowed to take Sefarim, books of Kedusha, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Liaretz. Which means, if you have a shul that has a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to take the Sefer Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Liaretz. That's it. Mal oilin v'loy maridin. Even a Gemara, a Shas, any Sefer that you have that has found its place in Eretz Yisrael may not be exported to Chutz Liaretz.
What? Many times, yeah.
So bizman is that we print, so we need to come onto all of the heterim. Same way we come onto all the heterim, but it's sudden mikudin is asar. And okay, place come a foul pole. This either chatchili. You put some sense only in the place when you're depleting the svar from Eretz Yisrael. You're not depleting the svar from Eretz Yisrael. We're only printing the chatchili to bring to Chutz Liaretz.
Even parnasa.
Parnasa. We need hetay, but you should be aware that these are two halachas. One is a Bavli. One is a Yerushalmi. Someone said that the Yerushalmi of the svar, we don't pass it. We reject entirely because it's not in the Bavli. Some say it's not so. As long as it's not contradicted by the Bible, there's no reason why we should ignore it. We don't do it. We're not nizer bisman hazeh because the reasons do not apply whatsoever. There are plenty of svarim in Eretz Yisrael left, and it's l'hagdol Torah l'hadira, and it's l'chatchila printed for this purpose. So that's why we are generally varying. Okay, so these were the four different topics. I left a lot out, but you covered some ground.